Psalm 119 verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. In the previous verse, David said, I have declared my ways, meaning I have openly, honestly confessed my ways to you. I tell you everything, my God. And as a result of that, I feel your assurance that you have answered me. And realizing that answer, the result of that is, you know, the fruit of that is, teach me your statutes, right? A desire is kindled in his heart to learn more of God's ways. And as an expansion to that verse, there is again a greater desire to learn God's ways in verse 27. So it's kind of a continuation there. And we see two things in this verse, okay? I would want to call it as, first one is a repeated prayer request. And second is the result of a repeated prayer request. Okay? Repeated prayer request. What is the repeated prayer request? Make me understand the way of your precepts. The result of the request is, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. We all have repeated prayer requests, right? We pray again and again and again. And now if you understand verse 27 properly, I think this will become a repeated prayer request, as it became, and it became my repeated prayer request over the last week. Notice this repeated prayer request. Make me understand the way of your precepts. What? Make me understand? David, don't you understand God's law? His ways? You know so much of Bible than, you know, most of them, right? And you are asking God to help you understand God's precepts? What are you asking? And how many times will you ask this, David? We are tired of this. It's amazing, you know, you see this repeated again and again and again in different ways in this entire psalm. Teach me your ways. Direct me in the ways of your precepts. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your life. We may have repeated requests, you know, the world may have repeated requests, you know. So, you know, each of us have, you know, think which is important, right? And that becomes a repeated prayer request. But here is a man after God's own heart. His chief concern, his great heart is fixed on this one thing. Not only David, you see, the other great man, you know, kind of Paul in the New Testament, praying again and again and again. What does he pray for? What is his repeated in prayer request in most of the epistles? You know, we are starting Ephesians, and he says, he prays that God may open our eyes. Wow. Why is this the repeated prayer request of these great men? Right? I started thinking about that. And I have 7 reasons. Okay? I know it's a short prayer meeting, but let me conclude it very fast. I have 7 reasons. I'm going to go fast. 2 negative and... I kind of edited my reasons. I removed few. And I'll have 5 reasons. Okay? 2 negative and 3 positive. Let me give you the first 2 negative reasons. Why is this such a repeated, tiringly repeated prayer request? Number one, because a natural blindness is a chronic, stubborn disease. And it will not be cured in this life. You know that? Every time God opens our eyes, we probably start seeing things very dimly, very dimly. And you know, we are excited. You know what happens? A remaining sin inside us, and the external influences of the vanity of the world and the clouds of temptation come and completely blind us again very soon. Is that not our experience? We come to church and hear God's word, or we read God's word in our private devotions. Oh, what light and what joy. Ah, things have become so clear. I can see the Lord. Right? We rejoice in that light. And what happens by evening or maybe the next day? We are kind of back to square one. feeling as if we are groping in darkness. Have you wondered? In fact, you know, sometimes we realize the more we know, we realize the more we realize we are blind, the more we realize we are ignorant. The first step for spiritual illumination, right, by God is to realize this chronic blindness that you and I have. This is what will remove the cursed confidence of the head knowledge that we have, the pride that we have. The more and more we are sensible of this natural blindness, we will be like men, like David. Or even the man we see in the Gospels, Bartimaeus, right, who kept crying, "Son of God, David, Son of David, have mercy on me, open my eyes." When we realize our natural blindness, we will see this tip, why this is a repeated prayer and why we should pray this repeatedly. "Lord, make me understand the way of your precepts." That's the first reason. Second reason that we should pray this regularly: because of a satisfaction and the pride that comes from mere head knowledge. See, as saved believers, God has given us a desire to know truth, right? That's amazing, because unbelievers don't have that. And that's why we want to read, and that's why we want to come and listen to God's word, and you know, we do a lot of reading. That's good. But you know, our remaining sin can kind of pervert that desire and give us satisfaction just with the mere head knowledge. That knowledge which doesn't lead to any practical results in our life. There is a great and great danger and temptation. Many have fallen in this. You just learn about God's word. You learn a lot of theology. You learn a lot of doctrines. And it is good. I'm not at all for a moment undermining that. It's all good and it's all very necessary. But the point is, we shouldn't stop there. Those are all that learning about truth should not be an end of itself, but it should be a means to change our lives and to make us walk in the ways of God, right? It shouldn't be just an end in itself. That's where the problem is. And we are all prone to that. There is a big difference between knowing God and knowing about God. And I'm reading J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, right? It's a spiritual classic. And J.I. Packer says, one can know a great deal about God and may not know very, very less about God. You may know about God, but you may know very less of God, right? You may know very less. So we can have great interest in theology. We can study books. We can know church history. And when we speak about that, others may appreciate all our theological interest and knowledge. And this will motivate us to read more. All that is good. I'm not for a moment saying that is wrong. But the interest in theology and knowing a lot about God is not knowing God. That's what J.I. Packer says. It is a means. It is the first step. There is a difference between knowledge and saving knowledge. To be able to talk about theological subjects is not saving knowledge. Saving knowledge will have practical effects in our daily life. We may not know a lot of knowledge, you know, as loose, floating opinions, right? That's why our Christian life is so unstable. Because all the knowledge that we have acquired is not a settled conviction. It is not grounded deep in our consciousness and deep in our conviction, and it's not given us assurance as if we have seen it with our own eyes. Right, and we are ready to venture our souls and venture our life on that and obey all its commands, come what may. It is not engraved deeply in us. It's like a floating pieces of paper in our minds, you know, that can be so easily carried away by temptations, by the vanity of the world. It's not grounded. That's not saving knowledge, right? We can be deceived by the slight superficial knowledge. So to avoid becoming head theologians and experts, being great in knowing about God and not knowing God. We need to pray like David, not once, not twice, again and again and again. Lord, I just don't want to know only the great truths. Let the truth have practical impact in my life. And notice what he exactly prays for, right? Lord, I know a lot of theology. I know about all these doctrines, you know. But make me understand the way of your precepts. The way I should order my life according to your precepts. Practical effects, right? Those are two negative reasons. Let me come for the positive reasons why we should pray again and again, right? This saving knowledge that we're talking about positively, this, or we can call it as the illumination that comes, it only comes from God, primarily as an answer to prayer. And an importunate prayer. You know what is importunate prayer? You realize the need so much that you keep asking again and again and knocking and seeking, and you realize it. You realize you need it. You realize you are so impoverished without it. This knowledge alone can make our soul abide under the dominion and the life and the power of the truth. You know what that means, you know? Abiding under the dominion and the life and the power of the truth. Right? The truth has such influence. It rules us. It gives us life. It gives us power. And it creates such awe and pleasure that it kind of bends our will and causes our heart to obey it with delight. In simple words, only such saving knowledge can touch and have practical effects in our daily life. Right? And it can be effectual in our daily life. And Lord simply said in John 8:32, You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This illuminating truth alone can set you free from the bondage of the will, right? This illuminating knowledge alone has the power to sovereignly reign in our souls and impact our practical life. Again, J.F. Packer is saying, it's not how much theology you know that determines whether you truly know God. The evidence of you knowing God, right? He gives many reasons, but I summarized, you know, all that he says. This is the evidence. Two things are the evidence that you really know God. You know what? How much energy do you have in your private prayer life? Your relation, if you know God, if you really know God, how much energy, zeal do you have in your private prayer life? And how much energy, secondly, do you have to boldly obey God's word in every area of your life? That's what determines you, whether you know God or you only know about God. Your energy in prayer life, your energy to obey God's word is the measure of your knowing God. We don't realize how impoverished we are if you measure your knowledge according to this, right? In this sense, we hardly know God. That's what John 1:3 says, right? Hereby we know that we know him. How? Not because we have read the Bible, we know so much of theology. No, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. We can know many things by rote, right? By heart. But savingly, we know only as much as we practice. A man savingly knows no more than what he practices. So all other knowledge is just parroting the truth, not real saving knowledge. And that's what David is asking, right? You need to have. That's why we need to ask like David again and again and again. Lord, I can read. I can acquire as much knowledge, and I have to acquire that. I'm going to show that's a means, right? Without that, God doesn't illuminate anybody. But unless you illuminate me, I cannot get that saving knowledge. And that's why this is a repeated prayer. Second reason, positively. Not only such, only such knowledge gives us the wisdom how to practice God's ways in our life. That's why David begs that I may understand the ways of your commandments, right? how to walk in each duty, how to live in the light of a truth in a certain situation. I'm living in a family with responsibilities. I'm living in work. I'm working somewhere. I'm outside. Lord, how do I direct my way according to your precepts? Make me understand, Lord. It's not enough to have a general notional understanding of the truth, right? It has to be brought to a daily practice. Teach me where, when, how I have to perform each action. See, we're all wise in the generals, right? We, you know, when we fail in the specific application. Take about family prayer, right? We all know family prayer is the command of God, and we know there are many blessings on families that pray. But how many of us have the wisdom and the energy and the strength to regularly make it a practice at home? All we fail. 1 Peter 3:7, Peter says, husbands, dwell with your wives with discretion, discretion in Tamil, it's a different word, with considerateness, with wisdom, right? With prudence. Knowing that as a general truth is different from knowing practically how to live according to this truth in every reaction, interaction with our spouses, right? That's very different. Oh, we know the rule, but how our pride and our prejudice and our lust and our self perverts and diverts us, right? How we fail. How we fail to live with consideration, live with discretion, knowing that they are weaker vessels, and we say things that we shouldn't say. And then we end up creating a conflict. Oh, how we need the wisdom to apply that in that specific situation. And so we should pray with David people. Oh Lord, help me as husband. Make me understand the way of your precepts as a husband, as a wife, as a parent at home, as a worker, as a believer. Help me to understand so that it can have practical effects in my life. Third reason, because this is an excellent knowledge. It's an illuminating divine knowledge. Just as natural knowledge, light is so pleasant, right? And this light, that illuminating light that comes from God is so pleasant. We sang a song, you know, it kind of shows a path where I'm going, right? It can, this truth, you know, clears up the soul, all the darkness. And this is something we have to experience it. Nobody can explain it unless they experience it. The heart feeling God's love, the conscience having the full liberty that you are walking in God's ways, understanding the truth and all the doubts getting cleared, and we are able to see things very clearly. And this is a very practical light. This is a very persuasive light. Right? A practical light that can guide us in every area of life and according to the truth. And it's very persuasive. It gives us a lively force. It gives us efficacy in our hearts to obey. Sometimes we know what to do, but we don't have the strength. We know we have to conduct family prayer, but we don't have that lively force, energy. It is this light that can give us that, people. And hence we have to pray. This is so excellent. All the spiritual blessings, the benefits come from this knowledge, right? All grace. How did we get saved? Not just having head knowledge, right? It began with the understanding of our salvation when the light came. And the same way we grow in grace with the same light. 2 Peter 1:12 says, grace be multiplied unto you how? Through the knowledge of God. Through the saving knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? The more we know, more we have light. And so, these are my reasons. Why is this a tirelessly repeated prayer request? Right? So, we see the reasons. I think those reasons are very, very, it was very compelling to my heart. And like I said last week, you know, and very, very important, just like we are going to read Ephesians now. And you remember, Paul's prayer is that. Oh, we can learn about Ephesians, we can learn about all these doctrines and all these great election, all that. But unless God illuminates and opens our eyes, we'll not be able to see that glory and have the practical results that will come out from Ephesians 4 onwards. Right? So, that's the repeated prayer request. Let's see the result of this repeated prayer request. Right? What happens? What does David say? When you make me understand your ways, what will happen? Make me understand the way of your precepts. And he goes on and says, look at the result. I shall meditate on your wonderful work. I shall meditate. Those whom God makes, you know, makes them to understand the way of his precepts, they end up seeing wonderful works. Wonderful works. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Wonderful. Wonders. You know what wonder is? Right? It's something we have never seen. Something that kind of transcends and it's beyond our capacity. The revelation of God to a prayerful soul is above the sphere of man's understanding, right? It goes beyond the wisdom of the age. Just like, you know, these men, David, and you take Daniel, you take Joseph, they lived, they had knowledge beyond their times. And it's not just head knowledge, it impacted how they live, right? This knowledge is so wonderful, so overwhelming. And it will make us stand in wonder and make us meditate, not just hear and go and forget. It will make, it will kind of occupy and it will kind of, you know, take hold of our mind, and we will end up meditating on the wonderful works of God. I've never seen it like this. This is beyond my capacity to grasp. This must be a revelation of God. And I need to meditate, and it all fills my mind. It makes me joyfully meditate on God's wonderful works. And that's what David says. Lord, make me understand the way of your precepts. You make me, you give me light, you open my eyes, and I shall meditate. The result of that is I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Wonderful works. See, the truths of scripture are wonderful, right? The nature of God, when God reveals it, and the depth we cannot understand. And the ways of God, the law of God is so wonderful. And psalmist says, in the same psalm, I've seen an end of all perfection. Everything has a limit, but your law is exceedingly broad, right? I can never attain to that. When a child of God sees that law reaches every thought and every action and every motion of his soul, and how wonderful he sees that, right? But take the Ten Commandments. It's a wonderful summary of the whole duty of man. Right? All the duties towards God and towards man is all summarized in the 10 words. Right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the object of my worship. Thou shalt not make any graven images, the means of my worship, right? And thou shalt, the manner of my worship, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And the time of worship, remember to keep thy Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy. And how he has built all that summary of how our duties towards God and our duties towards men, you know, primarily our parents, right? Honor your father and mother who are representatives of God till we come to some age, right? And then our duties to other neighbors. First, there has to be a regard for his life. Thou shalt not kill. And the regard to the relations that we engage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Then there should be a respect for his property. Thou shalt not steal. And there should be a respect for his good name. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And then as if to cut the root of, cut even from the root any evil that you intend to do to your neighbor. It kind of covers everything. Thou shalt not covet anything of your neighbor's. This is the law of God in its depth and its spirit and the harmony and the connection. It's all wonderful. And David says, I will meditate on your works. Right? We say there are three works of God. Do you know what that are? The works of creation, the work of providence, and the work of redemption. These are the three works of God. And the creation works, David wonders all that. And it's all ordinary for us. We are all gotten used to it, right? And David, you know, wonders at that because of this illuminating light that comes upon him. It's wonderful to search the creation, and he wonders how you formed me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows it all. He wonders and meditates on the creation work, and he then meditates on the providential work. His providence governing every creature and taking it to the proper end. Especially His care and God orchestrating our lives, and we will be able to know when God illuminates us, and we will be able to know what God is doing in our life. It is all leading to our sanctification, correcting and preparing us, helping us grow in grace. And now He's been answering our prayers and answering it according to His wonderful providential working. That's a wonder, right? And that's another work of God and the work of redemption. We'll be able to see how wonderful we've been seeing, looking unto Jesus, how wonderful are those works. Without controversy, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world and received up into glory. We see He's seated in the right hand of Father. How wonderful that is. Every time we look at Him. Right? Nowadays, you know, when I go to prayer, I go with a smiling and a joyful confidence. Earlier, it was all timidity and confessing and feeling guilty and all that. Now, you know, every time I go to prayer, it's all smiling face and praising and rejoicing and, you know, because I see the one sitting there in the right hand. How wonderful is that? When God illuminates our mind like that. Right? So, this is the explanation. So, we've seen the repeated prayer request. And the result of this repeated prayer request, right? Now, as a practical application, let me say a couple of things, okay? I'm examining myself. I want you to examine. When you read God's word and when you hear God's word, how are you benefiting from that? Right? If your benefit is only to an extent of admiring the sermon, admiring the passage, or you come and listen to a passage, it gives you a temporary comfort, you feel good and go and know, it doesn't have any practical effects in your life. You see what the problem is? You need a divine illumination, right? The prophetic ministry of our Lord who sits on the right hand of God, He is ordained pastors and preachers and He's given the written word, but it doesn't end with that, right? There is an internal, the pastors can teach your, put the words into your ears and probably inform your mind. But it is only the prophet, the final prophet sitting in heaven can illuminate your heart and bring out, just like David, make you understand the way of your precepts so that you meditate on His wonderful works. He alone can do that, people. And this understanding comes only from Holy Spirit as a result of prayer. You don't get this any other way. Hence we see these men, David, they're not just in prayer, they are in something called as importunate prayer. You know what importunate prayer is? It's like you keep asking, knocking, seeking. Make this a subject of your importunate prayer. Do you see the great need for us to pray? Not only pray, but pray repeatedly. It's not a vain repetition. Like I said, it's importunate. And Bible calls us to do that. You know, Proverbs 2:3. Cry for knowledge. Lift up thy voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Search for her as for hidden treasures. Why? Because it comes only through importunate prayer. This prayer, like the blind Bartimaeus. Right? And especially, like I said, as we are reading Ephesians, right? The Apostle Paul himself. Now he prays, and how much we need to pray. So we need to be taught, and it's the greatest wisdom, right? And secondly, first we need to pray, importunately pray for this. It needs to be a subject of a repeated importunate prayer. Second, praying without using the means is tempting God, right? We should use the means. Like I said, we should study, we should dig the mines of knowledge and search into the scriptures and read other books. Get all the knowledge you can get. Right? I'm not undermining that. Read and be informed. But you shouldn't stop with that. You shouldn't be satisfied and with that pride, knowledge puffs up, right? Don't be stopping with that, you know, and be satisfied with that. Those are just the means. You know, gold doesn't lie in the surface, right? You have to dig and you have to labor and dig if you want gold. So you shouldn't be satisfied only when you come to church, oh, you learn something. And, you know, some of us live in the dark ages. You know, dark ages, they get any comfort and any light only when they come to church. And that too, these priests will give something and they will go home because they didn't have Bible. Right? And, we should learn personally to spend time in our devotions, dig into the scriptures till we get that light and comfort, right? And it comes from practice. And when are we going to learn that? Oh, I'm fully discouraged for a whole week and only when I came to church I was so encouraged. You know, it's because you have not learned the practice of, you know, spending time digging God's word, praying this prayer. Yeah, church we teach generally and it's a public ministry. Things may not come in such a way which very practically applies for you. Most times it's basics, right? Are you going to live in the generals and basics? And that's why we don't realize how it will affect a particular situation. It's every believer's duty according to his capacity and opportunity. We have to know, read and grow in the knowledge of God, right? And God doesn't expect us all to be masters of theology and only then I will bless you with illumination. No. With whatever little capacity we have and whatever little time, God knows, right? And whatever that we use, you know, He will enlighten us, right? He will not, but He will never enlighten any lazy believer who neglects the means of grace, right? To be willingly ignorant of sin, whatever means, whatever time we have, whatever capacity we have to use that and pray. First, pray repeatedly, use the means. Right? Because God blesses us through the means. And when we have, you know, think about what a blessing it is when we have this, right? This is my final application. It will prevent so many vain thoughts and all these crowding, heart-perplexing doubts and worldly worries and that fills our mind with darkness and our heart with pain. Right? How do we get rid of all that? We need to labor and to get a stock of knowledge. Knowledge upon knowledge of God. More we have this saving knowledge and it will help us to, you know, overcome sin. David, we studied 119:11. I have hid thy word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Because devil is very innovative, right? He comes with new arguments, new temptations, new ways. And, you know, we need all kinds of truths to tackle him. So when we have all this talk of knowledge and growing knowledge, one truth or the other truth will rise up in our defense against that temptation. Right? And, you know, I think nothing makes us more effective in the gospel than this light. Because this light will not only affect our mind, but it will deeply affect our heart and fill our heart. So much, and our tongues, we cannot control our tongues in that case, right? That's what happened to the first century people because God's light was so abandoned. And they would want to vent out, they would want to express that. Because out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks, right? When we are filled with this knowledge and this light and we want to share it with people. We want to share, when we have this burning heart, our tongues will burn with fire. For the honor of God, and you know, we will share the gospel. So may God bless us to learn this prayer, very important, repeated prayer. Let's